Curry way downtown. Bang! Steph Curry from just inside half court.
What's up and welcome to the Sneak Peek Podcast, where we take an in-depth look at some of the best performances in NBA history. This week, we've got a great episode for you where we're taking a look at Stephen Curry's 2015-16 unanimous MVP season. My name is Jacob Sockett. I'll be the host of this episode, and you're listening to the Fake Emerson Podcast Network. We got a great guest for you today as well. It's a good friend of mine, Brendan Walker. A bit more of a Celtics guy, but he's here to talk about some stuff with us. And welcome to the first episode of the Sneak Peek Show. Okay, so with us now is Brendan Walker, a good friend of mine, and more of a Celtics guy, but he's here today to talk about Steph Curry in 2015 and 16 with us. Brendan, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack. I'm really just excited to talk Curry. I mean, this is, after all, I think probably like one of the best seasons in the modern era from like what I think is a top 10 player of all time. So yeah, I'm excited to talk shop.
Yeah, me too. I definitely agree with you. I mean, as far as seasons go in the last 15 years, this has to be top three. Like, is it, you know, just in terms of everything that the team accomplished and that Curry accomplished as an individual player, it's just ridiculous. So really, to just get right into it, I mean, this is Steph's only, I thought this was interesting when I was doing the research, this was actually to date his only 50-40-90 season that he completed, which I think is a little bit crazy, but I think it's because most seasons that he doesn't have it, he's either at like 49.5% shooting from the floor, or he's at like, you know, 39% from three. But he, really, in most of them, he's sitting at that 40, above that 40% from three mark, which is really interesting. And he's always been super consistent from the floor. Just to give you a little bit more of his stats from that year, he was averaging 30.1 points per game, 5.4 boards, 6.7 assists, 2.1 steals, and 0.2 blocks. And just to clarify the shooting splits, he was shooting 50% from the floor, 45% from three, and 91% from free throw, rather. Which, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, something I think people say about Steph Curry that is so, so true is that when the Warriors come to town, that is the game you get tickets for. Like, even if you've got the worst, you know, local team, you're a Kings fan, whatever, go see Steph Curry when he's in town, because that's the game to see.
No, I'm completely seconding that. I say this like I'm leaving Boston the 16th. Curry is going to be in Boston the 17th, and I'm pissed I couldn't get tickets to that game, because they're even like the nosebleeds are still like $80. In terms of stats that really stuck out to me, there was actually an ESPN feature article I looked at like right before this, and what I thought was kind of crazy. So in terms of like reigning MVP, so guys that have gone back to back, which isn't like a particularly high number, the majority of guys that actually like got better PER wise just isn't particularly high. The majority actually decreased. But in terms of Curry, so Curry improved his PER by 3.5 points, which is absolutely insane, because the only other guy that actually did that, I'd say like in the modern era, and since like for like the numbers that we can actually calculate PER for, is Bird did it when he went back to back in the 80s with 2.5. So his value, both his actual value to winning basketball, in addition, just like ridiculous statistical numbers, just bananas.
He is like, truly, while I was doing the research for this, it just like, he's such a statistical anomaly. Like, this guy is he was scoring better on pulling up off the dribble threes than he is off of catch and shoot threes. You know, like, it's just insane, his ability to find an open look. And then obviously in that season, especially, that was before KD was there, so it really, he's sitting there with one of the greatest floor spacers in the game in Klay Thompson, so he's got all of this room to work with, and he had Draymond there, obviously, to be just working in that two-man game, and that team, I mean, 73 wins, like, it speaks for itself. You know, it was clearly one of, if not the best teams ever assembled, and then they went and added Kevin Durant, which is just insane. So I did want to just compare. So obviously one of the other like really great seasons of that early era in the 2010s is Russell Westbrook. The year later, 2016-17, his MVP season with the Thunder. And I was looking at it, and so Curry's effective field goal percentage, or rather the Warriors, I'm just gonna read a bunch of stats to you, and then we can sort of go back and forth breaking down each one, right? So Westbrook, the Thunder, when he was on the court, they were only improving their effective field goal percentage by 0.032%, whereas with Curry, they were improving it by 0.085%. And now, obviously, a lot of that is coming from the fact that Curry's shooting way more threes than Russell Westbrook is. But I just thought that, like, you know, he's making more of a impact with just keeping them in the game and keeping them taking better shots, because I know Westbrook loves that midi way more than Steph does. He increased their rebounding by 3.5% for total rebounding percentage. Westbrook only did it by 3.3%, and I don't actually think it's incredibly significant as a statistic, obviously, but Steph is one of the better rebounding guards in the league, and people don't talk about it enough. And that is my agenda as a podcast host, is Steph is a great rebounding guard. If you are building a team, if you're doing team rebounding, you want Steph on your team before anything else besides rebounding, but he is a good rebounder.
Yeah, going off of that as well, if you're talking about interior presence, comparing the two. So when it comes to actually scoring inside, which I think is absolutely insane from Curry this year. So in addition to like just being a flamethrower from three and like averaging like what was it again? Like something like 48% from three. Mm-hmm. So his layup percentage this year was 69%. So like even for as small as he was still finishing with insane numbers at the rim. Westbrook's shooting percentage from less than 5 feet was only 56% in his MVP season, which is crazy because when you think about it, Westbrook is a guy who's primarily known for his ability to drive inside, get to the hoop, dunk, and, you know, primarily for his rebounding. But I think it's absolutely insane. Steph is a guy who, like, even though they're listed at relatively similar heights, like Steph looks noticeably smaller than him and he's still finishing at a plus 13% clip of the rim better than Westbrook, which is just insane.
That's actually nuts. Like, to be finishing at the same rate as, I mean, there are bigs this season, all-star level bigs. I don't think Anthony Davis is finishing at 69% from less than 5 feet this season. And Curry, to do that as a 6'3 guard, and he weighs, what, like 180 pounds, 190 pounds? Like, that is just otherworldly finishing ability for him to be able to get to that level. So that's a really good statistic. And then obviously just, you know, comparing them further, the one that stuck out to me is people want to talk about, you know, Russ is really the difference maker on that 2016-17 Thunder team, which is true, because when he was on the court, they were 10.5 points better than they were in their offensive rating when he was off. Steph, on the other hand, actually brought the offensive rating of the Warriors up when he was on the court versus off. They were at a plus 13.6 offensive rating, which is obviously a little bit impacted by the fact that he's going to be playing with other starters. But, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, he's clearly, clearly sitting there with the one of, if not the best seasons of all time, like, let alone a season for the decade.
Curry crossover three-pointer. Bang!
How often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, not much. But I recently discovered socks that changed the way I'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. Bombas socks are the most comfortable socks in the history of the feet, and I am not kidding you. They are so, so soft. They've got this super soft natural cotton, and every pair has a little bit of arch support. There's no seam on the toe. I'm a big hater of a toe seam. It really, really just gets in the way. And it's got a great cushion on the footbed. They've got these little dots on the bottom of them. They make your feet like stick to the floor so you're not sliding around your apartment or your house or anything like that. And they're super stylish, okay? I have never in my life gotten a compliment on a pair of socks before. I wore my Bombas socks. I was all insecure. I was like, ugh. People are going to think I'm weird. I'm wearing these colored socks. And somebody, the first thing they said to me when they saw me that day, they said, hey, I love your socks. And I was, it's just great. So if you want to get your sock complimented, buy your Bombas at bombas.com/breakdown today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/breakdown for 20% off. bombas.com/breakdown.
Yeah. I mean, even just going off of that, like, even just going off of that from like more of an intangible perspective, like when you take Westbrook off the court, you have a team that's like barely fighting to basically get into the playoffs. I think they finished with like the fifth seed that year. Like they don't even get home court advantage that year. Whereas like, so like your ceiling with Westbrook with that Thunder team that year is like fifth seed, which, you know, deservedly so. Like they're at that roster is pretty much garbage without him. At that point, you have Oladipo pre like breakout in Indiana. You have Sabonis pre breakout in Indiana. You have Steven Adams is probably the second best player on that team. When you take Curry out of that, Warriors lineup, it fundamentally changes the way that they play basketball just because of their spacing. Cause even though you still have Klay and Draymond on that floor, the thing that Curry does is Curry automatically, like, there's the argument that both of them, like, they're going to make both their teammates better. But I think, like, what Curry does in terms of, like, generating the actual attention and the sheer gravity he actually pulls from defenders, where you're essentially, like, defending him, like, 5 points out from the three-point line, you're going to generate better looks than what you'd be getting with Westbrook generating for his teammates, in addition to the fact that, like, the sheer gravity that he's going to be, like, pulling defenders out of place. Just, like, it is the prettiest form of basketball I think that could exist. Like you're getting like what is probably like that like team like hyper efficient offensive team basketball at its absolute peak, whereas like when you have Westbrook on the court, yes, it's still cool to watch Westbrook, you know, get a triple double, go for like 40, 20, and 10, but it's not nearly as pretty looking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, all of those Warriors teams, I mean, especially once you add Kevin Durant, they got insane to watch. But especially before then, you just saw so much of the offensive genius that I think Curry and Draymond sort of share, right? Of this, you know, ball screen and dribble handoff and all of this shit. And they've got the elevator screens coming and Klay is just always in the corner on the elbow, ready for the kick out. And it's just this insane combination of players and just so fun to watch. I mean, you know, obviously he's the unanimous MVP that year. Comfortably, as you said, he made himself even better. Something that actually stuck out to me too, you're talking about players improving their PER. Jokic's PER, which last season was something like 34, somewhere in the, you know, mid to low 30s, he's actually like 3.5 points better this season than he was last year, and he's on pace to shatter the PER record right now. He's supposed to finish with like, I think he's at 38.5 last I looked at it. And the record is somewhere at like 35. So it's just insane, this league right now. But I actually, speaking of right now, I wanted to go back and look at how Steph's 2015-16 compares to Michael Jordan's 95-96. So 20 years later, the 20-year anniversary of the 72-10 Bulls, the Warriors are going to go 73-9 that year behind Curry's season. So here's how they line up again. So again, Curry was averaging 30.1 points a game. Jordan was averaging 30.4. Steph had 5.4 boards a game. Jordan had 6.6. Steph had 6.7 assists a game. Jordan had 4.3. 2.1 blocks for, or sorry, steals. 2.1 steals for Steph, 2.2 for Jordan. 0.2 blocks for Steph, 0.5 blocks for Jordan. Steph was shooting 50%, 45%, 91% respectively. Jordan was shooting 49%, 43%, and 83% respectively. So, I mean, what firstly jumps off the page to me, Jordan averaging 30, I mean, he's, you know, the scoring champion so many years, but Jordan averaging 30 plus in any season in the 90s is just ridiculous. Like they're on paper, it seems like they're scoring the same amount, but I mean, 30 points in the 90s is just so much more.
Yeah, the physicality of defenses, they had like, they're not really being a hand check rule like that. Basically like what what you as an on-ball defender could get away with, like, on a team, like, you know, screening and, like, defending a team's primary scorer in the 90s versus, like, defending Steph Curry in the 2010s. Obviously, like, you know, Steph Curry is still operating at a ridiculous level, don't get me wrong, but, like, at this point, like, Jordan is, as much as he's, you know, ridiculous in the mid-range and, like, pretty decent from three, like, this is one of his higher shooting free three-point years from what I'm, like, from what I remember, from what I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I mean,
also just still has the ability to, while he's essentially, like, basically getting straight fought on by defenders, the ability to just barrel past folks and head straight for the rim as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jordan was shooting 43% from three, which, I mean, this is just how ridiculous Steph Curry is, right? We're saying only 43% just because Steph is so ridiculous at 45. But it's just both of these guys, you know, are such an offensive hub for their team. And what's really interesting to me, I don't even think this qualifies as Jordan's best season. You know, like, obviously this is the Bulls' most successful season as a team, and they're really on it and they're hyper-focused because this is, I believe, 95-96 is the year Jordan is back from retirement, or is that it's his first full year back with the team,
first full season. Yeah.
So clearly, I mean, this is one of the most focused versions of Michael Jordan because he's back and he's you know, reclaiming his throne after Hakeem winning back-to-back championships in his absence. So it's, I think, really just interesting to compare the two because, I mean, they've got to be two of the best seasons, or definitely team-wise, obviously, they are the two best seasons in NBA history, and both main guys for each team had just ridiculous years. So moving on, we are going to do a new segment. This is a segment that is going to happen on every episode. It's called Biggest Blunder, and basically what it is just me, and I'm going to tell you about the worst, I think Steph's worst game from that season, right? So he lost, the Wolves lost on April 5th in 2016. They lost to the Timberwolves 124-117. And the reason why it's such a bad loss, because, you know, you're right, like, who cares? They lost in April to the Timberwolves, but they were closing in on an all-time record. So that game really did kind of count for them, because if they, you know, had lost a couple more, that might have been when they wanted back to claim the record. Steph went 7 of 25 from the field. He had 4 of 14 from three-point land. So he just really was not comfortable that game. Could not get a bucket to go in. He did have 15 assists, which I thought was, you know, even on a terrible night for him, he's still turning in performances that most guys would never get in their careers, which is ridiculous. And only 3 turnovers on that. And so, I mean, in this year, like, it's hard to find a bad game for a guy like Steph Curry. And he's somebody who literally will never have a bad game back to back. It's almost impossible. And it was really hard to find one because he played 79 games. And I think there were only like 3 or 4 where he was shooting less than like 45% from the floor. It was just insane.
Yeah, no, I think it was like 79. Which is crazy because also you could make an argument that, like, come the postseason, playing that many games might have actually cost the Warriors when it came deep down in the playoffs, when you've got Steph Curry essentially, like, playing hurt deeper in the playoffs and everything. Like, that's an entirely different conversation. And I think at that point, Wolves are one of the 5 worst teams in the league that year as well. So that's
definitely,
also just
not a good one. Definitely.
Yeah. They're at least one of the worst 5-6 teams in the league that year. So that's also just not a good look either.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it means, because especially with a loss like that, because if, you know, Steph was resting that night, you drop a game to the T-Wolves, it's no big deal. But the fact that they were obviously chasing that history, and that's what's so hard, right, is like, how are you going to commit to chasing that 73 wins? How much of that matters without the ring? Because to me, I mean, the season is impressive, and we are obviously going to be we're making this podcast about Steph Curry, right? So obviously it is going to be remembered as one of the best seasons of all time, but at what cost of losing the ring, and how much of that is on Steph, how much of that is on Steve Kerr? I'm not, who's to say, but that is going to do it, I think, for our episode. So thank you so much, Brendan, for coming on again. I really appreciate it. And also thank you to everybody who tuned into the first ever episode of the Sneak Peek Podcast. I'm very excited for next week's episode, where I will be joined by Kwani Lunas, and we will be going over Isaiah Thomas's 2016-17 All-NBA All-Star season. Again, I have been Jake Sockett. This has been the Sneak Peek Podcast. If you're into it, you can find us on Twitter and under the handle at Sneak Peek Pod. That's Sneak Peek, P-E-A-K, Pod. And thank you very much for listening.